once, upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Oh, 'tis some visitor, I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more. Distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had thought to borrow from my book surcease of sorrow, for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. But the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of its purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors, never felt before, so that now to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor, and greeting entrance at my chamber door. Some late visitor, and greeting entrance at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more. And presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly, your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce were sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there. Nothing more. Deep into the darkness, peering long, I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token. And the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this and nothing more. Back into my chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard the tapping somewhat louder than before. "Oh, surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window. Let me see then what there it is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. This the wind, and nothing more. And open here I flung the shutter. Many a flood and flutter. In there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with the mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon the bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and set, and nothing more. His ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy, into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly grievement, ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. What? Nevermore. Much I marvel at this ungainly fowl to hear this course so plainly. Though it answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, yet we cannot help agreeing that not living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or fiend, upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, oh, other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore. It's a stillness broken by reply, so aptly spoken. Doubtless, said I, what it utters is his only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope, that melancholy burden bore of never, 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 nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling my set fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled the cushion seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking, what this ominous bird of yore, what this ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore, manting, croaking, nevermore. This I said, and gazed in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl, whose burning eyes now burn into my bosom's core. That and more I said, divine, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press so nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God has lent thee, by these angels he has sent thee respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kindly fancy, and forget this lost Lenore. Then the bird said, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet, silly bird or devil, by the heaven that dance above us, by the God we both adore, tell this soul, the sorrow laden, if with a distant Eden, it will clasp a sainted maiden, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, was the raven nevermore. Me that were thou signing parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest on the night Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes has all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor, and my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore. Nevermore. Nevermore.